Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.
California is going to decline. New York's going to decline. We're going to continue to lose congressional seats, but the red areas in this country are going to continue to be worth more. And hopefully the thought is, look, it takes decades to ruin this stuff, and it takes decades to fix it. All right, welcome back. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, Financial Guy. Stefan Mihailu filling in for Glenn Wiggle today, taking a well-deserved morning off, actually hunting. I don't know what season it is. I don't hunt, but I do get to eat the fruits of his labor, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't have as good of a beard as he does, though. I got to put, like, Chia Pet on my face to compare to Wiggle's beard.
Yeah, I'm not man enough to grow a beard like that. I get, like, the shadowy little, and then I shave it, so.
You haven't shaved since August, and Wiggle shaves in the morning, and then it's like his beard is down to his chest, so.
Yeah, I would come in patchy, like there's the spots on my face that would actually not be able to actually grow hair, I think. So,
well, God bless him for hunting. Good. Yeah. Eat what you kill. God bless America. Good conservative man with his bow and arrow, his gun.
He does that.
Or with his bare hands. I don't know how he does it.
Yep, but. And he donates to foundations, you know, so there's, you know, this, especially, he's not deer season, but, you know, if you aren't hunting the deer, then a lot of them get run over by cars, right?
So. Right.
And Priuses run over deers too as well, so you know,
more damage to the deer.
Yeah, not just gas guzzling SUVs. It's Priuses that hit them too. So,
well, pretty soon in New York, that's all you're going to be able to drive or heat with your stove. But that's another story for another day.
Yeah.
Hey, I saw and you shared the clip with me. I thought this was fascinating. This Leanna Wen, I guess she's a CNN contributor, a physician, wrote an editorial in the Washington Post 2.5 years after the fact, basically saying, "Oh, by the way, we overcounted COVID deaths during the crisis."
Yeah, well, first of all, the financial guys were reporting that about a month into this. A month
right.
into this, we were talking about that, how disgusting it was that every death was COVID. They put a money label on it, which once you do that, you say, hey, look at, you know, you will pay you extra to find COVID deaths. That's what they did. Everybody with a brain knew that they were doing this, you know, and now it's taking, by the way, if I was her, I would get some extra protection because I, you know, just it may just so happen that her car blows up in a fiery crash at 190 miles an hour, right?
Does she know the Clintons?
Yeah. I mean, I give her credit for coming out. It really, truly is, you know, Glenn, you guys did a show last week and you interviewed a liberal about mental illness and how mentally ill they are. And I really believe it's easier to dupe people. I'm not saying you do that, by the way. It's easier to dupe people than to undupe people. People do not want to feel duped, right? So they're, nope, I took the shot. Nope. You know what? It's fine. Even though the data continues to suggest at every point, whether it's the COVID, the vaccine doesn't work. You know, 90% of people getting COVID now have had the vaccination. Whether it's this, they've overcounted deaths, right? I mean, how many times, and we had a frontline COVID doctor that told us this. He said, your office will be a perfect sampling of what's going on with COVID. This was, you know, the March 2 weeks to flatten the curve. I said, why? He said, you have 4,000 something clients, right? That's what we told him. I said, yeah. He goes, well, many of them throughout the year probably pass away, right? And so, unfortunately, I said, yes. He said, look at every single death certificate and talk to those family members and find out the truth. And that's exactly what I did. You know, normally I wouldn't do that. Normally I wouldn't say in my office, I want to see every death certificate. You know,
right.
I'd say, okay, Joe or Rick or Mike or, you know, they're all handling their clients and I know that that's all. But I said, I want to be a part of that. You know, every single one was BS. Every single one.
And they had COVID as the cause.
COVID as the cause. And I would talk to the family, sit down and say, can I, you know, talk about what really happened with Bill? Now, many of them I knew. So some of them, you've been fighting pancreatic cancer for 3 years.
Right.
You were supposed to last one. You lasted three. They put COVID down. That's a bunch of crap, right? You know, when you die, you oftentimes die of multiple things. You know, we had Dr. Erickson on the live line 2 years ago. And Dr. Erickson said, when somebody passes away, they typically have 10 or 11 things wrong with them. And it could be pancreatic cancer that's actually killing them, but your immune system gets so weak that the normal flu or the normal COVID flu or whatever it would be that would normally be nothing to your body is now what puts you over the edge.
But it's there.
Yeah. But what you passed away from was cancer, not COVID, right? And of course, now they're changing that to COVID. We all knew that. I mean, it was a motorcycle accident down in Florida. They put COVID.
Right.
I mean, disgusting. So good for her for finally waking up and saying that and seeing it. You know, it's funny, as you can see the anchors at CNN, they're all like, duh, duh. Like,
they didn't know what to say.
No, not, you know. But how could you be that brain dead? I mean, everybody with a brain has been saying this for 2 years. Like, you can't do, you know, this is not what's really, truly happening.
And let's hear from her right now, where she appeared on CNN talking about it, saying basically, yeah, we overreported deaths by almost 30%.
There is a way for us to look at death certificates and also to look at the medical records of individuals prior to their death. And I think this needs to be separated into three categories. One is the COVID as a direct contributor, the primary cause of death. The second is, could it be a secondary contributing cause? So, for example, somebody with kidney disease, COVID then pushes them over the edge to have kidney failure. That's COVID as a contributing cause. And then the third is COVID as an incidental finding. So somebody coming in with a gunshot wound or a heart attack and they happen to test positive. I think that we need to separate out and look at the percentages of each. That percentage would have shifted over time as well. In the beginning, probably a lot more people were dying with the primary cause of COVID. That probably has shifted. And I think, again, we need to understand this. Another reason to understand this, too, is a lot of people are wondering when they should get a booster next.
Never.
When do we need a second booster or another booster? And the only way we can know for sure is to understand who is getting severely ill and when.
Yeah, right. I guess who's getting ill? It's the people that have the boosters and the multiple boosters.
And she even talked about someone dying of a gunshot wound.
Yeah, I like how she broke it up into three categories. I think the problem, though, and where she's really still being a little bit dishonest is, yes, there's a category of motorcycle accidents, gunshot wounds, right? The contributing cause, 95% of them, 99% of them did not die of COVID, right? They died of pancreatic cancer. Oh, by the way, we're putting COVID down. But in a million years, we would have never done that prior to COVID. So we would have never said, Mike Lomas has got pancreatic cancer, but we think he died of the flu. No, they would have put the primary cause as pancreatic cancer. Yes, underneath that, here's some things that he had that pushed him over. But the number one main thing on the death certificate would have said pancreatic cancer.
Well,
and that all changed when you assigned a money value to it. When you said to people, you said, think about this, you said to hospitals, no, you have to make money. You're a business. Nobody's coming in for knee surgery. Nobody's coming in to get their elbow fixed. God damn it, people aren't coming in for heart attacks. They're having heart attacks, right? So you've got no money coming in the door, and then the government says, hey, you were a comptroller. Hey, Stefan, you're the controller of this thing. You're totally broke. There's no money left. You're probably not going to have a job because this thing's going to go bankrupt. If you find COVID cases and you can list them, we'll give you more money.
Well, and you're right, because hospitals, and I distinctly remember this, this is what a pig Andrew Cuomo was. Do you remember when New York City was begging for life-saving medical equipment? They were basically going to steal.
Yeah, the stuff they already had in warehouses there.
Right,
yeah,
they were going to steal equipment from Buffalo hospitals, and one of the local hospitals, one of the groups said no, and they were very public about it. They told Andrew Cuomo, screw you, there's no way we're going to do it. So elective surgeries is a huge moneymaker for hospitals. Cuomo selectively chose what hospital groups in Buffalo and across New York State could have elective surgeries again, and he blocked that one entity from having
it. Yeah, nice.
So, but it goes to your
point.
Great
time to play partisan politics, right?
Right, but it goes to your point about money-making, that yes, there was a financial incentive. These hospitals are really feeling the pinch, and you hit the nail on the head. I mean, Ronny Jackson, he's a member of Congress, but he's also a doctor. He's a physician. He hit the nail on the head and actually talking about what you talked about the fact that there was a financial incentive for hospitals to blame as many deaths as possible on COVID.
Numbers are not accurate because there was an incentive that was put in place early on with reimbursement to healthcare, to the hospitals and whatnot, that, you know, if they were treating COVID, the reimbursements were higher. So, you know, it didn't matter if you came in and you died, you know, from a motorcycle accident on the interstate. If you tested positive for a week or two prior to that accident, or if you tested positive while they were trying to resuscitate you in the hospital for COVID, you were going to get listed as COVID was going to get listed as part of your, if not the reason that you died in some cases, right? So it's complete farce. It's what's kept this going for so long. It's what created the hype and the fear that they needed to keep the lockdowns and the mask mandates and everything in place. It's what created the justification for spending billions and billions of dollars in COVID relief money, most of which we don't even know where it went.
I mean, that hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's sort of sad that we're at this point. But again, people don't want to be duped. So you've got these liberal left-wing mentally ill. There's a group of Democrats that are just mentally ill, right? I heard the guy on Saturday, he said the reason why we have a lot of crime in Buffalo, this is the guy you were interviewing and Glenn was ripping apart, the reason we have a lot of crime in Buffalo is because we have too many police officers. That was his answer. Right. He was trying to defend. So we brought him on the show so he could defend himself that liberals are not mentally ill. And he said on the show, the reason why we have too much crime in the city of Buffalo is because we have too many police officers. Let me let you in a little secret, dude. You need a hospital if you believe that. You are mentally ill at a whole different level. You're mentally bankrupt, but you are mentally ill, especially when we can look at cities like New York City where we can say, wait a minute, when did they clean that up? Oh, that was under Rudy Giuliani. What did Rudy do to make that a safe city? Oh, he supported the police officers. He put them on every street corner. He overwhelmed the areas that he knew the crime was at. Who else is doing that? Oh, Miami. Miami's a pretty mixed pot, right? Black people, white people, tall people, short people, all kinds of people in Miami. 90-year low when it comes to crime last year. You know why? Because they supported the police officers. So we've got a track record that you really have to be a special form of stupid to say, you know, well, we got too much crime in the city of Buffalo. But that's what they believe, right? So they don't want to be duped right now. They don't care. We'll tell them a million times over. Doctors will tell them that these numbers are fake. They don't care. Take your shot.
But it's also one of those things where, you know, I remember, you know, former Congressman Chris Collins, all throughout his office, whether he was county executive or in Congress, he had a sign everywhere, "In God We Trust, All Others Bring Data."
Right.
Conservatives focus on facts.
Yes.
Facts are stubborn things. Mentally ill folks on the left, it's all about emotion.
That's right.
It's all about feeling better.
Right.
Look at COVID. They had to justify the narrative of locking down everyone, of getting the jab. And how do they do that? They scare the hell out of people.
Yep.
Basically saying everyone's dropping dead of COVID. And now we know 2.5 years later, even though you were talking about it right after the
a weekend.
After the pandemic broke.
A weekend.
That this wasn't true.
Yep. A weekend. We nailed it. Right. Every bit of it we nailed. Again, it won't matter, though. They don't care. And the mainstream media doesn't care. CNN will never have her on again, by the way. She will never be invited back again, ever.
Well, you know, and speaking of media, too, it's the constant narrative. Rachel Maddow was talking about the fact that in China, you're not going to believe her justification. The reason why people, and we're going to listen to it right now, Maddow said on MSNBC, I'm so glad you mentioned media, she's saying, I wish I were making this up, we're going to hear from her right now, that people are dropping dead in China because their vaccine
is different.
Is different and not as strong as in the United States.
Can you imagine that?
You gotta listen to this.
Meanwhile, Stephen, we got countries that didn't have any vaccine and their numbers are way, 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 way better. Way better. Way better.
Right. It's not natural immunity.
Right.
It's because their vaccine is not as strong as the United States. Mm-hmm. Take a listen.
Yeah, I bet.
But it's also important to note that China's in a different situation than we are when it comes to vaccines. They distributed their own vaccine. They didn't distribute the very highly effective Pfizer and Moderna Johnson & Johnson shots that we got here.
No.
So looking at this very dire situation in parts of China right now is part of what's going on there, that their vaccines just are not as effective. And so we'd never be at risk for something getting that bad here again because our vaccines have been better.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? They're still pushing that narrative.
No, it's hard to believe. It's really hard to believe how stupid these people are.
Still pushing the narrative that the vaccines work and that Pfizer, Moderna, they're just so much better.
Yeah. I'd like to know my guess is, and if I was a betting person, I would say somehow, some way, they're advertising on her network, right? So, you know, there's so many celebrities now that we're finding out are endorsers of this, but they're getting big paychecks for this. I would not be surprised at all. See, the liberal left, there's all the mentally ill that are poor, and then there's the ones like Rachel who have figured out a way to make all kinds of money out of this, right? There's the Bidens of the world. We'll talk about the Biden crime family, you know.
Which is pretty extensive.
That's unbelievable, by the way. Like that Trump could get busted in a sense for having some documents maybe he shouldn't have had, right? They raid his place. It's 5 in the morning. They're smashing his windows in.
Wife's bedroom.
Yeah, wife's bedroom. If that's the case, and you had some documents that you took back with you and you put them in your garage, wouldn't you go through your house and say, oh my gosh, do I have anything that I'm on TV saying how irresponsible could Donald Trump be? That just shows you how stupid this guy is, right? But I mean, really? Like, and you left him there with crack addict son able to get at him, right?
$50,000 a month for rent at his house. Here's the thing. The cover-up is always worse than the crime. You know, Ducey from Fox News asked President Biden, well, wait a minute. They're in your garage. He goes, oh, they're locked in my garage with my Corvette.
Yeah, they're not supposed to be, Joe.
Right. And then, and then there's video of him pulling in and out of the empty unlocked garage. It's like, how dumb can you be? I love Senator John Kennedy. I think he's Louisiana. Yeah. He's definitely from the South. But you mentioned the stupidity. You got to listen to this clip where Kennedy actually talks about the stupidity of the Biden administration. This is hilarious.
President Lincoln had a team of rivals. Sometimes I think President Biden has a team of morons. I don't mean to be unfair.
No, you're right.
He's right. Fair.
Many of President Biden's appointees are very smart.
Many are not.
But so was the Unabomber. My point is that they may be smart, but they don't have any sense.
That's a good point.
Well, they're not qualified. I mean, many of his picks have been picked because they're gay, because they're LBG2817 or whatever. I mean, they're not picked because they're qualified for that position, right? Mayor Pete is a perfect example of that, right? Head of transportation. He's been absolutely 100% useless, including getting appointed and taking off for a few months. I mean, that's a position where you can't do that, especially when COVID, when that position is important to try to get the economy rolling again. But he's not there because he's smart. He's not there because he's qualified. He's there because he's gay. That's it.
Right. And look at what happened when they had to ground every single flight across America.
Didn't even know about it. Right. He didn't even know about it. The morning, like you and I are watching the news going, I had to take a flight for work. And I'm like, man, this might be delayed, blah, blah, blah. We've got financial advisors that were in airports, you know, trying to get him back to Buffalo. He didn't even know.
And here's the thing. One guy, the software or whatever the computer system was so old that one person made a mistake, input the wrong information, and crippled the entire air fleet across the country. And yet, what was Pete Buttigieg's big, his focus was diversity training.
Yeah.
Woke right. training. That's they right. had extensive training
right.
on inclusivity, on wokeness, but yet you're not fixing the damn system.
Yeah.
And it collapsed under his watch.
The actual real problems that you should be focused on, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, he took months off to be home with his kid.
Totally. Total joke. He should have been fired day one. If that was the private sector and anybody, and even including liberals, by the way, if you actually ran your own business and you had to use your own money, he would have been fired within 17 minutes. It would have taken 16 to make the coffee and get the courage up to figure out how you're going to actually fire him. Like, what's the appropriate way to do it? But he would have been gone.
But don't you think, getting back to Trump and the documents and Joe Biden, I swear, like, I'm not one for, like, the tinfoil conspiracy theorists, but a part of me is thinking, okay, there's no way that they want Biden to be the nominee in 2024.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way.
It can't be that simple, right?
They're just trying to get rid of him some way, somehow.
It can't be that simple. Like, really? Seriously? You just left these in the garage? Right?
And his office for 8 years.
Right.
And not knowing they're there.
That's right. Multiple locations. Now we're finding out, by the way, that his son was renting that house for $50,000 a month. How does a crack addict get $50,000 a month even to understand to set it aside? Number two, by the way, he didn't disclose it on his tax return. So, you know, the funny thing is, every single time the liberals accuse the right of doing something, they're actually the ones doing it. Every single time. So now the Trump family, the tech leader, get fined $1.6 million. And of course, that's all media grandstanding, because when you're running a billion-dollar company, and this is not Mike Lomas saying you should do your tax return wrong or anything like that. I'll never forget. This was it like Dateline or somebody? They had 100 IRS agents do the same return, and they all came up with a different answer.
Really?
Right? This was like 20 years ago. Yeah. Because, right, this is, you know, can you write this off? Can you not write that off? The Trump family was just fined $1.6 million for their tax returns, right? That is nothing. That is like somebody making $100,000 and being fined 75 cents, right?
It's lunch money.
Well, yeah. But I'll tell you what. When the Biden family, who's putting down on their tax return that they made $300,000, and you just miraculously forget about $50,000 a month, That's gelable to me. That's gelable to me. Because I tell you what, Stella, you forget $50,000 a month in your income, you're behind his grass and not the kind you smoke. I'll tell you that.
I'm in the holding center for that. But that's what it's rules for thee, but not for me.
Yeah.
It's typical, whereas, again, with Donald Trump and having classified documents that he had locked, he was negotiating with the Justice Department. Early morning raid, FBI agents storm his house. And I think the anger from conservatives is, why are you treating Donald Trump one way and Joe Biden a different
way? Yeah, well, they knew about it and didn't even do anything about it. If it wasn't for an investigative reporter, this would have never even come out, probably.
And they knew about it before the midterm elections.
Yeah, oh, of course.
That's the killer. They knew about it before the midterm elections.
Of course.
But I'm telling you, it's no different, I think, than Andrew Cuomo. Whereas women, everyone came out of the woodwork to basically get rid of Andrew Cuomo.
When they're done with him, they're done with him, you're saying.
Part of me thinks that there's an orchestrated effort that, if they're going to go after Trump, now they're going to have the same standard for Biden. And you know what? He doesn't run again in 2024.
Yeah, I wonder who does, because it can't be, was it Carmella? What did he call her, Carmella?
He doesn't even know his own vice president.
Is it Carmella? She's going to run? I mean, she's hated.
But that's the hypocrisy, though, of the left. I mean, look.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be right, because you can't be that stupid. You can't be that dumb. I mean, how in the world could you? The people surround. Look at when Trump gets busted with documents, right? He shouldn't have had them. Okay, he took them home, AXA, whatever. Wouldn't you think that the people surrounding Joe Biden would say, "Hey, we're just going to do a sweep of your home, a sweep of your office. We're just going to make sure that there's absolutely nothing there," right? They're sitting in the garage next to the Corvette. Really?
Well,
really?
It's so funny you mention that, because it's a crisis communications 101. When I was county controller for 9 years, anytime we were going to throw an arrow, it's the first question my chief of staff would ask.
Yeah.
The first one.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, hey, someone not paying. I remember there was the current comptroller, Kevin Hardwick, his main aide for years, I'm sure, cut some kind of a sweetheart deal with the county exec. She never paid her property taxes.
Yeah.
Was late for years. And if it would have been either one of us, house would have been foreclosed.
Oh, for sure.
So before we threw
it would have been, not only would your house have been foreclosed, it would have been the top story in the Buffalo News.
Editorials.
Yeah, 2-3 weeks.
Resign.
2-3 weeks, yeah.
So the first question my old chief of staff asked was, and he had to ask this question, was, have you ever been late paying your taxes?
Yeah.
You, meaning me, have you ever been late paying your taxes?
Right.
What about your family? And of course, I pay my taxes on time.
Yeah.
But that's just crisis communications 101.
Right.
So if we're doing that at the Erie County level, why the hell doesn't Joe Biden have someone saying, hey, pal, do you have any documents?
I would think you'd do that on a school board level. I mean, hey, look it, we're going to accuse this other school board member of this. Hey, look it, I better look in my garage and make sure. It's almost so, like, if you were to see that in a movie, you'd be like, this is BS. This is stupid.
Right, you're making it up.
Come on, right? It's almost like the Epstein thing. Like, it's so unbelievably hard to fathom that, you know, I've said this a million times. You and I go to a movie, watch this movie, and Epstein gets busted, the jail cell's left open, the cameras don't work, they switch the guards, his jail cell's open. Honestly, I probably leave. I'm like, this is the stupidest movie ever. Like, this would never
happen.
Friends
with the Clintons.
Yeah, right. Like, it would just never happen. Like, it could, come on. Right. And it's funny, I've got friends that, you know, correctional officers, and they're like, Mike, honestly, somebody comes in there that's big time. Erie County Correctional Facility, we watch them 24/7, constantly monitoring them, right? I mean, it was just so blatantly in your face, obvious, that it's almost like unbelievable. Like, even with this, like you said, like, I'm watching this going, really? Could he have left the documents in there? Could there be proof that he literally, his crack addict son was paying back the big guy $50,000 a month by renting his house? Like, at that level, that's what you're doing?
I remember when Tim Howard was Erie County Sheriff, and you mentioned the scrutiny they have on high-profile inmates, the bike pack rapist, Altemio Sanchez, literally in an encased glass cell, basically.
Like that movie, was it like what's the movie, Silence of the Lambs?
Yeah, I mean, and I remember Tim Howard was taking legislators on a tour of the holding center, and Tim even kind of like just goes, do-do-do-do, bangs on the glass, and, you know, and he's there. But they always had eyes on him as a high-profile inmate.
Right.
So, you know, to get to your point, if they're doing that at the holding center, but also, too, like the hypocrisy of the left. one of the things the Biden administration talked about, and now Kathy Hochul is jumping on that bandwagon, is banning gas stoves in New York State across the country. But, of course, the photographs come out of Jill Biden. What is she cooking on? A gas stove.
Right, of course.
You know, the Buffalo Bills.
This
is the height of hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Where New York State is the lead agency building a new stadium for the Buffalo Bills. So Kathy Hochul basically wants to ban stoves, heaters, hookups for small buildings in 2025, and then stop the sale of all new fossil fuel powered heating equipment by 2030.
Yeah, and she says, by the way, she goes, look at it, we don't want to get rid of them. No, we just don't want to sell them anymore.
You just can't buy them.
Oh, okay, so... what do I do? Like, I could get the parts for them? Well, no, that'll be banned, too.
Right.
You won't be able to get the parts for them. So when they break, I'll have no other choice but to put in an electric stove, which, by the way, many folks in Buffalo know that gas stoves actually can do a lot more than just cook your ramen noodles, right? They can actually save your life at some point.
Well, and guess what? Again, Kathy Hochul in New York State, they're building the new stadium for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to...
But guess what heating source they're using to heat the field?
Yeah.
Natural gas.
Right, of course
they are. The state is building...
Of course.
A stadium with natural gas heat, but you and I can't have it in our home.
Yeah. Now, you may know more... Yeah, your background is way more intense than me on this, but my guess is either delaying some of this negotiations in the stadium, like we're almost done. My guess is they can't figure out... They don't have enough labor to build this thing. And that's my understanding, is there's absolutely not enough labor to build this thing. So I'm looking around thinking, where are they going to get this labor? Well, you're going to bring it in from out of town? Well, let's see. If I'm going to move my family somewhere and there's a demand for construction projects down in South Florida or Buffalo, New York, where am I going to relocate to? Let me see, right? I don't know. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they figure it out because there's, we've got up to 23% of the state now on welfare. 23%.
Is it that high?
23%. Yeah.
Good gravy. Yeah.
Crazy.
And we're paying for it.
Of course. Yeah.
So it's a height of hypocrisy, especially on this issue of banning gas stoves. You got photographs of Jill Biden. You know, what is she cooking on? And then here we're going to hear from...
It just shows you the stupidity of them. Once again, could these people really be that stupid? And are we at a point in the state, which we are, that they're running the ship? That's who's running the ship. That's what they're worried about, right? We've got massive amounts of debt. 20% of the top wage earners in the state have moved in the last 2 years. It's the same election speech every damn time, whether it's Cuomo or Kathy or, we've got massive amounts of people leaving and we're going to stop it this time. No, you're not, right? So when you have 20% of the top wage earners leave over a 2-year period, right, how do you think you're going to pay for this stuff? And that's what you're focused on. You're focused on gas stoves. And you got AOC going, we think it caused brain damage. Well, maybe. My guess is your fam, obviously something hurt. Something is missing in your brain. Did you sniff the stove? Is that what you did? Because it was funny. Ron Rice at our office is like, because they're talking about, this generation has got, mental problems. They're like, maybe, looking back, maybe it had something to do with our parents were smoking and drinking when we were pregnant with us, right?
Well, with AOC, it's like the line in Tommy Boy. Did you grow up near power lines when you were a kid? So she got called out on her hypocrisy, and this is how she justifies cooking on a gas stove and yet calling for having them banned.
Or how dare you talk about gas stoves? You have a gas stove. First of all, I rent, period. Second of all, it doesn't even matter.
What does that have to do with the gas stove?
No.
Because by that logic, these are the same people who would have said we should have never gotten rid of leaded gasoline. Just because someone may have driven a gasoline car. Science evolves and gives us new knowledge with time.
Yeah. And you know, the best way to resolve that is through free market capitalism, right? So we're not working on energy fusion. And this is the thought is that we can replicate the energy from the sun, and a cup the size of my teacup here could fuel your house for 15 years. If that's the case, and it's safe to the environment, if that's the case and it's cost effective, I'm going to switch everything over the second I can possibly
100%.
Do that, right? But when it's not cost-effective, which this moron doesn't get, right, and when you move everybody from gas to electric, and then we find out that their electric bill is $7,000 for the month, right, the next debate is going to be, how do we offset that? It's unreal. And what's amazing to me, when you talk to these brain-dead liberals, they don't understand that batteries store energy. They really believe that batteries produce energy. I can put this battery in my car and it'll just run forever. I can put a battery in my house and it'll just run forever. a dumbbell, you got to get the energy there somehow, right?
It's got to be put in order for it to be used.
That's right. That's so, right.
Well, and even think from a practical perspective. Like, you're right on all of the logic, the data, the facts, but even from a practical perspective, you and I live in the same town. We lost power at our house. Guess what? Literally saved our life.
Yeah.
A gas powered generator.
That's right.
And it's not just for natural disasters in New York.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to hear from Ron DeSantis right now that he said basically, I mean, literally, here in New York, people would have died if it were not for natural gas during the blizzard.
No doubt.
And in Florida, the same thing during a hurricane.
That number would have gone from 40 to hundreds, if not thousands.
And DeSantis makes that point, whether it's blizzards or hurricanes, you need natural gas.
And you see the Biden administration wants to nix gas stoves. Are you kidding me? Like, I want gas stoves. I mean, imagine, like, how many people had the hurricane come through, didn't have power right away, but were able to turn on some. So you cannot go down this road, but that's exactly what they want to do. And it's really weakening Western society, Western values.
Yeah, it's strengthening Florida. Let me tell you something, folks. If you're going to invest in property, and at some point I keep hearing people say, oh, there'll be a pullback, the property values cannot continue to do what they're doing. And that's true, right? That's what happens. I mean, you have boom and bust cycles and whatever it is, right? I got to be honest with you. I don't know how the New York real estate market, and there will be pockets of success, right? Because there will be people fleeing the shitty areas and moving to the better areas.
Like we did to Elma.
Pockets of success, right? But I don't understand long-term how the New York real estate market continues to go up. I do, however, understand how the Florida real estate market goes up because of that, right? Good leadership. People want to move there during the dips, so that market corrected by 20%, 30%, great. The buyers go in, right? There's only so much land. You know, there's a lot of swamp land in Florida, so the land is very valuable. That's how I get it. Like, you know, people say to me all the time, I'm going to start buying real estate in New York. I'm like, buy a primary residence. You'll be fine. You know, it'll grow a little bit. But man, let's think through investment property in the state of New York. Do you really want to deal with the liberals and all their bullshit? And like when a COVID crisis happens and they say, that's okay. You don't want to work, Billy. You just tell your landlord, no big deal. You can pay your bills. Or do you want to move to a place that's going to support you and say, look at, you know, but maybe we do need to help in the short term, but in the long term, you're going to work and you're going to pay the landlord the bills, right? Do you want to move and buy property in a place where people are moving to, not moving away from, right?
But you feel like a prisoner here in New York State because if it weren't for family, we would be gone in Florida in a nanosecond.
Yep.
You know, I remember Andrew Cuomo basically said, no, people aren't leaving New York because of the taxes, spending, overregulation. It's because of the bad weather.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely wrong.
All of a sudden, we figured that out decades later.
Right. My wife and I, no question, we would be gone to Florida if it weren't for the fact that my in-laws are older. We don't want to move our very young kids away from family. So living in New York, you are literally a prisoner to having family here. And you mentioned little pockets of success across New York State. We left the village of Hamburg, where we're paying a town tax, a village tax, school tax, county tax. We moved to Elma. There's no town tax.
Right.
We moved into a much bigger house, and our tax bill is lower.
Yep.
And we purposely moved there to that location to be closer to my wife's family and because there's no town tax.
Yeah.
But take Elma out of the equation. You're right. Look at even in the People's Republic of New York this last election where Lee Zeldin only lost by 6 percentage points. There is no question if that 20% of the population that left for Florida would have stayed, he would be the next governor.
Yeah, well, that's a shame. I continue to say there is a positive to this, I think, in that the country is moving red, right? I mean, 20-something years ago when we started the radio, Florida was this little state that didn't matter as much in these big presidential elections, right? It was like, it was a momentum state, I think they called it, right? So, like, you want to win Florida because then it'll hopefully go up the coast. But now, Florida's worth more than New York. And that's going to continue. And California's going to decline. New York's going to decline. We're going to continue to lose congressional seats. But the red areas in this country are going to continue to be worth more. And hopefully the thought is, look, it takes decades to ruin this stuff, and it takes decades to fix it. But, you know, how many times is it frustrating when you look at a national election and you see blue, 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 red, 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 and you're like, well, how do we lose? Right? Like, how do we lose? Well, that's because New York was worth so much. California was worth so much. They continue continue to lose seats. That's going to continue, and this country is going to continue to move more red, and I'm optimistic about it long term.
But that's also a loss of influence. That means less money is coming to New York. In Florida now.
Well, it's not good for New York.
No, it's terrible for New York.
Not good for New York.
No.
I'm saying, for the country, it might be a good thing.
Right.
Not good for New York. No.
Right. I mean, Florida has 28 congressional districts. And congressional districts are based on population, unlike the Senate. Everybody gets two. Florida has 28 congressional districts. New York just lost, and they're down to 26.
And I think we're going to lose more.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. When do they do that? Is it every
10
other
years? Every 10 years.
Oh,
so can you imagine 10 years from now how Florida's going to grow, Texas,
and
the Carolinas?
That's my point. The problem is it's such a long, methodical process, right? Like 10 years, that's a long time, right? But 10 years from now, if this continues, if mass exodus, by the way, there'll be some bankruptcies. There's no way New York can sustain itself with this massive amount of spending and the people actually paying the bills moving out. You know, I was thinking about this morning, no matter what it is, the liberals are never doing what they preach. Never. It doesn't. You pick it. Pick it. Okay, we should redistribute wealth. Well, redistribute some of your wealth. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. We need to clean up the environment. Okay, how many trees did you plant last year? Oh, none? Not one?
We need a secure border, but what is your house secure with?
That's right. That's
a big fence.
It does not matter. That's why you know it's a mental illness, folks. Whatever they are saying, they are not doing. Ever. It doesn't matter what it is.
Guns.
We got to clean up the environment. Okay. Have you ever stopped and picked up any garbage? Because you know who I see picking up garbage? It's the town of Alma. I see people walking. I do this. I jog. I bring a garbage bag, pick up any garbage along the way. I never see anybody in North Buffalo walking around cleaning up garbage. Right?
It's too much.
Never see anybody planting trees. You know,
right.
guess who does it? The government, who we redistribute our money. And yes, the city, by the way, gets more money than the suburbs when it comes to Erie County and how it's divided. That's why the city's taxes are, quote, cheaper. It's because you're welcome. We're paying for it. Right. So.
Oh, in numerous ways, too.
Yeah, but there's no initiative from any of these left-wing groups. Hey, I'm going to go out and take my own money and start planting trees around the city. Never, ever, ever.
Well, look at guns. They want to take away our firearms, but all of these wealthy people, what do their security guards carry?
Yeah.
A gun. Nancy Pelosi. Hey, we need an open border. Don't build the wall. What does she have around her house?
Yep.
Apparently didn't work because the guy with the hammer got in.
Yeah.
But that's another story for another day.
What happened to that story, by the way?
Right, a massive wall around her house. You know,
absolutely.
Rules for thee, but not
absolutely.
For me.
You need to drive a little roller skate looking car. But I'm gonna get in this big SUV with bulletproof glass, and they're gonna drive me around. Right. Most frustrating. I had a friend who worked for the Pentagon, and she said the most frustrating was Obama because he loved himself so much, and he loved to be the celebrity. So he would literally get all. You know, you've got to get. It's a huge process if you're the president. You want to go out and just go. Get a hot dog, right? I mean, but the fact of the matter is, you've got to be smart enough to just not do that stuff. You know, like, hey, look it, I love Louis and I love Ted's and stuff, but if I'm the president, I've got to be smart enough to recognize that if I want to go there, it's going to cost the taxpayers $1 million. He didn't give two craps. He would load everybody up. He'd make his appearance. He'd walk into the hot dog place around the corner and shake hands, and they would have to shut down everything to make this happen when he could have just said to somebody, hey, would you run? I'm in the mood for Louis. Would you run around the corner and go grab me a hot dog? Right.
Right. But even like you talk about the height of hypocrisy, the reparations issue is insane.
Oh, my gosh. By the way, you want to talk about just completely putting the nail in the coffin and destroying a city. That's the way to do it. Right?
Well, San Francisco now, they're basically saying $5 million. All you have to do is identify as black.
Yeah.
That's it.
And who wouldn't
black.
Do that?
Everybody.
Yeah.
$5 million, $100,000 a year in salary, and all of your debt wiped out. It would cost every paying taxpayer, yes, $250,000 out of their pocket just to pay for that.
Oh my God!
But here's
nobody
the
be left. Nobody be left paying the bills.
But Mike,
nobody
here's this scary part: they're actually talking about it here in New York.
Of course
State.
They are. Everything they do there, it's like hold my beer. Yeah, could you imagine that going through? That is it. That is it. The state is over. We are 100% bankrupt at that point because there's absolutely no way I'm sticking around to paying those bills, and nor is that every other taxpayer.
Now, keep in mind, slavery officially was outlawed in New York State in 1827. So we're talking almost 200 years ago.
Yeah.
And now the radical progressives, of course, they're downstate, they're New York City socialists, and they actually have a party. They identify as Democratic Socialists. in the state Senate. Yeah. These politicians.
Some of them are actual straight out communists.
Right. Yeah. But now they're actually creating, they have created a committee and they want to pass a law to bring reparations in New York similar to San Francisco. Yeah. Can you imagine?
No, I can't. I just can't. And who identifies it? By the way, have people actually taken DNA tests? Like, you know, I mean, my skin is white, but I'll tell you what, I have black relatives, a lot of black and white mixed, right? My daughter, my wife is white, I'm white, but my wife's got really beautiful, like, Italian skin, right? My daughter's darker than their kids.
$5 million.
So do I take her down?
Get your ass to San Francisco.
I mean, holy crap. And by the way, we just went through Martin Luther King Day. I mean, that's not what Martin Luther King was all about. Martin Luther King was all about you working hard for you. You pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. He was an amazing man, amazingly bright, witty, calm, cool, collective. I mean, if you go back and listen to some of the stuff that came out of his mouth, you know, not fighting. Hey, look, they're going to try to punch you. They're going to don't do that. Beat them with your brain, right? It wasn't about big government and free handouts and we didn't get our fair share. It was all about working hard, pulling yourselves up by your bootstraps and making something of yourself. And somehow that went away to, hey, we need the government to bail us out. It'll end up as a mess. You can give these people $100 trillion. It will all be pissed away. It will all be gone. And we'll be asking for more. It won't matter what the dollar is. It won't matter. We have been hearing this argument for decades after decades. Welfare, welfare, welfare. We know one thing. The more welfare you give an area, the shittier the area is, the less opportunity. Right. And it's just, it doesn't matter. The school districts are filthy, but I mean, a private school in the city of Buffalo, a good private school, is about $18,000 a year. We're now $30-something thousand dollars a year to educate our kids in the city of Buffalo, and it is a miserable failure, a miserable failure.
And look at, you know, you go to Martin Luther King, the Great Society, Lyndon Johnson, right around that time of his assassination, yep, that they passed that. Trillions upon trillions of dollars the federal government has spent fighting poverty.
It's only made it worse.
That's made it worse.
You could see every major city, including, by the way, the black community, just completely fall apart when those free handouts were given. Right?
And still is, to the tune of trillions of trillions of dollars. Yeah. But it goes back to your point of moving forward, we're just going to have a deeper and darker map when it comes to red and blue, where the inner cities are just going to be bright, 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 bright blue, where you're going to have reparations. And
but think about what they've done to these inner cities, right?
Destroyed.
I mean, you think about some of the greatest cities in the world. I mean, you know, the foundation of being able to move into these cities decades ago, get a job, support your family, and they were beautiful, right? Some of that old architecture, these amazing buildings, and just people congregating. You had churches on every corner where people went outside. It is 100% destroyed. Destroyed. And so, and you can't say, oh, by the way, well, we brought these communities together. No, it is 100. It looks like a war zone in many of these places. I mean, drive through Philadelphia and you're like, I'm either going to get shot. The best case scenario is I walk out of here alive, right? I mean,
how sad is that?
Drug infested, disgusting, spray painted, garbage everywhere, windows blown out. I mean, and pick a community that's led by Democrats. That is the result of it. I don't care. And sometimes people will convince me, they'll say, well, look at this community's turning around or that community's turning around. The city of Buffalo, well, things are wonderful. Things are turning around. Now the Elmwood Village is bitching about crime. Go figure.
Defund the police.
So let me let you in on a little secret. When they run out of places to rob on the east side, which another blow will be this storm, because many of these companies that were there are going to say, you know, that was the final straw. Some of them will come back. I saw Aldi's open this week. God bless you, Aldi's, because if I was the CEO of Aldi's, I'd say, no, we're done. We're done.
Lock up the doors.
Yeah, no, we're done, right? But it'll just continue that it'll once you run out of places to rob over here, well, then you move over here, right? And where they don't move is Elma and Alden, because those people have protected themselves, right?
100%.
Those people believe in the Second Amendment. And those people are ready to fight. Okay, so what's the lowest obstacle to break through? Well, this is unprotected. I'm going to go here. And now we've got all kinds of crime coming through the Elmwood Village, and they all can't figure it out. Nobody's bright enough to go, hey, maybe it's bail reform. Maybe we're letting the same criminals out, right? It's just a joke. And at some point, that'll go down too.
And mark my words, in the city of Buffalo, it's going to get worse, because you had India Walton run for mayor of Buffalo. Thankfully, she was not successful. Can you imagine India Walton being in charge of the Blizzard cleanup? Can you imagine?
No, I can't imagine her being in charge of a lemonade stand.
Or any of the stores that they looted. But here's the scary part, though. her and her political operation, these Democratic socialists.
Yeah, they're not done.
No, they are running primary candidates against every single Democratic council person incumbent in the city of Buffalo.
Yep.
So while they were not successful against the mayor of Buffalo and Byron Brown ran a successful write-in candidate. If they take out 5 of the 9 council seats in the city of Buffalo, they will control the budget. Yeah. They'll control the police. They'll control everything in the city of Buffalo.
Yeah, I will say this, and this is my opinion. I will say I think part of this is Byron Brown and that whole establishment's fault. And I say that because for decades, Byron Brown won campaigns. He didn't make a splash on anything, right? There's certain things that Byron Brown could have done to make the city better. Economically, I thought he did a good thing by just sort of staying out of the way. I think that's okay. Hey, look, I'm not a developer. I don't develop buildings. Let's just move out of the way. I think a lot of that was, remember when we had the Hard Control Board come in and that's the city went bankrupt? And they had to dismantle certain departments, you know, the Permits and Inspection Department and some of that bloated stuff. That was good. What he could have done a better job at is fixing our school districts, and he did not do that. He just stepped back and said, well, you know what? I'm not going to get in fights with the unions. The result of that is failing school districts year after year after year, and this support and this left-wing movement of we're going to do something different, eventually it catches up to you. You know, you either have to be more moderate and middle of the road, but fight for the things that can actually change the city, or at some point it's going to swallow you, and it'll end up happening with that city.
And look, I am a product of Buffalo Public Schools. I grew up at William and Fillmore, and when I was a kid, there were thriving businesses all up and down Fillmore, William. I remember as a kid, there were bridal shops, florists, pharmacies, mom and pop pharmacies, all gone. House that I grew up in, gone, demolished. Yeah. Progress is looking around my old neighborhood. I mean, you can literally throw a stone and hit 6 Catholic churches. They're gone and
graduation
closed.
Rate in the city of Buffalo back then, probably 70-80%, something like that,
but
fair to say?
Even me being a product of Buffalo Public Schools, when I got to Syracuse University, I was not college ready at all. I remember feeling overwhelmed my first few weeks in school, like, oh my God, I've got to work. Yeah. And I was at the top of my class in performing arts. Holy cow, I was not ready. As a parent right now, there is zero chance that my family, I would move us into the city of Buffalo because of the school district.
Yeah, and that's what you're putting back out in that community, and then we're expecting them to not be Indio Walton. Well, that's hard to do, right? I mean, you've got a 25% graduation rate in the city of Buffalo. What are they going to do? Are they going to be the ones opening the bridal shops? No, of course not, right?
And
they end up in prison, some of them, big chunk of them, 1 in 4.
And the problem, too, is the stranglehold that the Buffalo Teachers Federation, the union has, education city of Buffalo, the unions protect adults.
Yeah.
They are not there
to protect their jobs.
Kids.
No.
100%. And that's also another huge one that's wrong with the city schools.
Right. And that's where I blame him because I said the same thing about Obama. We said look, there's things that Obama could have done. School choice was one of them, right? School choice is, okay, look, these charter schools are working. The graduation rates, you can't deny. Some of them have 90%+ graduation rates in comparison to a 25 or 30% graduation rate. Okay, we can't deny the success of that. Well, if those schools are having success, why don't we do more of that? And why are we not fighting to close some of these failing school districts? He didn't do that. And so it's eating them up. That's what they eat their own.
Think competition is king, though? I use my mom as an example. If someone handed my mom a $30,000 voucher and said, go send Stefan to Nichols, Canisius, anywhere,
gone.
And that would force the Buffalo Public Schools to say, well, wait a minute.
Right, absolutely.
Parents can choose. We better get our act together and compete.
No doubt about it. I mean, it's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. We know it works. More competition, better school districts, the failing school districts. And then you got to give the school districts control, meaning that, if there's a bad kid, that kid should not be in the system. Right. For a safety standpoint, I mean, we know that, when we've had some of these mass school shootings, we knew Billy came to the school 18 times and threatened to kill people, but we couldn't get Billy out of the system. Well, the same is true with Billy not wanting to get an education, being bad and causing problems and bullying people. OK, well, Billy, you're going to go. Years ago, I went to DePue and there was an actual bad school. You wanted to be a you-know-what in school. They were going to get you out of that district and move you over here. When you wanted to get your crap together, you could go back in with the normal kids. If you didn't want to do that and you wanted to be a punk, you were going to stay there. Okay. But you got to have control of that. They don't want any of that. They do not want to do any of that. You don't hear a word from the mayor. You don't hear a word from anybody in the school system to stay, because I hear, well, what are we going to do with these bad kids? I don't know. Get them out.
Right.
Get them out.
But they're perpetuating this basically dominance and no competition within the school district because, again, it benefits. And I used to work for Dr. James Williams, and I loved him. God bless his soul, the old school superintendent. I did a lot of his PR and communications. He called them poverty pimps, that people who basically lived and survived and thrived because poverty existed, whether it's in the school district, the city of Buffalo. Again, $30,000 per student.
They don't want to change it. If they wanted to change it, they would come out and change it. It would be a grassroots movement. Palladino tried to do that. They called him a racist. They called him labeled him everything in the books so he wouldn't, God forbid, change the school district that had a 25% graduation rate. You know, if my kid was stuck in that system, I don't care what the color of somebody's skin was, I would be saying we need to do something different. But Byron Brown and that whole establishment down there, they deserve some of this because they're now eating their own, right? The Republicans, hopefully it goes the other way, where you start to get conservative Republicans, you're starting to feel some of this movement that's finally working when we saw what happened in Congress. Like, okay, please, we've been begging for decades. You promised me, every Republican, by the way, they come into my office and they say, Mike, you own a pretty decent financial firm in Western New York. I want money. And I'm like, okay, what do you stand for? I stand for lower taxes, less regulation, a secure border. And then they get into office and 8 out of 10 of them do crap. Nothing. And then they come back 2 years later, 4 years later, I'm for smaller government. Like, oh, God, you're exhausting. You know?
Right.
Exhausting.
And what are the results?
Yeah.
I don't care about the process. What about the results? And that's why at least there is some shred of hope now that the whole vote for speaker is behind us. I mean, Republicans are moving on their agenda, trying to get rid of 87,000 IRS agents, having investigations on the Biden administration. At least now I see a semblance of a glimmer of hope that at least the country's moving a little bit towards the middle right and in the right direction.
Yeah. But that's what happens. You've got to move in that direction or else they're just going to eat you, right? Although that IRS agent, maybe we should have had him. I mean, clearly the Biden family needs to be audited and investigated. That's the problem, by the way, is that, you know, people say, oh, you don't want 87,000, you know, maybe you're doing something wrong with not wanting 87,000 IRS agents. I'm not opposed to more IRS agents. The problem is they're going to audit the very people that are actually doing the right things. So the same thing happens in the financial world, right, where they say we're going to have more regulators to stop Ponzi schemes. Well, most Ponzi schemes are not started by financial planners that are licensed. So what they do is they go and say, okay, here's the 5,000 financial planners that are licensed. We're going to go after them. But what they're missing is the painter that lied about being a financial planner and is taking money, and the check is getting made to the financial planner, Joe Smith, right? And they're missing all that. So if they said to me, okay, we need 87,000 new IRS agents because there's a lot of people selling fentanyl on the east side of Buffalo, or for that matter, I shouldn't say the east side of Buffalo, all of Western New York. So we're going to take some of these IRS agents and we're going to go after these people that are on cash business, that are paying zero in taxes, but yet somehow they afford a $100,000 Cadillac in their driveway and in a $20,000 house, right? That's who we're going to attack, right? And that's almost like breaking up the mob. Okay, well, we can't catch them on murder, but we can catch them on tax fraud.
Right.
So if you told me that that's what we were going to do to help clean up society, 100% for 87,000 new IRS agents. That's not what they're going to do. And everybody with a brain knows what they're going to do. They're going to get the list of all the conservatives, and then they're going to say, wait a minute, it looks like you wrote off this Tim Hortons 87 cents here, and we're going to have a discussion about whether you should go to federal prison for that, right? And then we're going to make that they're not actually going to solve the problem.
And that's where it goes to. You know, even Donald Trump talking about fighting for, you know, the common man, you know, it goes to the haves and the have nots, the elites and the radical progressives having one set of rules for them and a different set of rules for us who play by the rules, live solid lives. And that's where the frustration comes in the United States of America. Again, when it comes to, you know, the IRS or anyone else, you know what? I live the most boring life in the world.
Yeah.
Literally. You know, take my passwords, take anything, look at anything you like. I live clean. I live the truth. And I live the most boring life as possible. Yeah.
Oh, but you would be an audit. You would be audited for sure. 87,000 new IRS agents. They would not be looking at the crack addict with the $100,000 Cadillac that declared zero income and didn't even file a tax return for the last 20 years. They would be in your house.
That's talking about Hunter Biden?
Yeah. Yeah. $50,000 a month rent. People, I know you liberals that listen to this because it's a car ride for you. I think about that. How if that was a Trump family, they would be destroying those kids. Absolutely destroying those kids. $50,000 a month. Where do you get that money? Right. Where does that come from? And nobody thinks. I know you don't want to be wrong, but you're wrong. Trust me. Take a step back. There's something not right with emails that say we've got to pay the big guy. Now we find out $50,000 a month. Right? Those homes are not renting for $50,000 a month, right? I can tell you that we have property. We have offices down in Jupiter, Florida. Jupiter Island is the most expensive zip code, I think, in the world. And those homes don't rent for $50,000, right? And they're 30,000 square foot. Right. Not happening, folks. I mean,
sign me up for that game.
You've been duped. I'm sorry. You've been duped. You've been lied to. Got to take a step back and say, yep, maybe I was. Right.
Well, I think the two of us just solved all the world's problems in 50 minutes.
Absolutely.
I think we did it.
I appreciate you filling in for Glenn. By the way, I didn't plug any of our departments. If you need help with home and auto, give us 14 minutes. Let us shop over 25 companies to save you money. Turning 65, got to think of the financial guys. We can help you with your Medicare independent AHIP certified reps. And of course, financial planning, whether it comes to your retirement accounts, your 401k plans. We have chartered financial analysts, certified financial planners, registered investment advisors. We have a bench that's very deep and we can help. 833-FIN-GUYS. Our website, thefinancialguys.com. And appreciate you spending some time. And I know you're filling in. You're filling in Saturday? I don't even know. The weeks go by. So I measure my life in podcast middle of the week, Saturday radio show. And it's like, holy cow, time flies.
Yeah. And also, and even on a personal note, like my family actually went through TFG Home and Auto through Spiraza.
Yeah.
And it literally took like 6 minutes. And every single year we go through the process. Okay, we're going to shop around. And every single year I get better coverage and it's cheaper.
Yeah. To me, it's a no-brainer, folks. Give us 25 companies to shop. Okay, you want to call one of those direct companies, put it in the mix. But, you know, to have a one-stop shop that doesn't cost you a penny more, whether you're going direct to some of these companies or you're going through us, same exact price. You're not getting any discount, but we do the shopping for you. It's a no-brainer. So appreciate the plug.
Amen to that. Yeah, we're saving dough and we get better coverage for home and auto. So, yep.
All right. Financialguysmedia.com for all the media podcasts. And we'll see you on Saturday on the radio. Take care.